I want to bring you to Jonah. I'll talk about it as well this evening. But I'm looking at the clock because it's amazing, this book, isn't it? What is here is tremendous. I preached it on Sunday in church, and a gentleman, it was great to see him, he hadn't been for years, and he came, but afterwards he said, you know, well, you'd mention the whale, and I'm not going to mention the whale. I hadn't, and I'm not going to mention him this morning or this evening. My past in school, I did talks on Jonah, and it was on the whale. At the whale, someone has said, isn't it? He's only just got a walk on part. And, talks in the past, you know, a tale of a whale or a big fishy, you know, what was it? Or, this was the evolutionary one, a whale of a tale, a bit fishy. How the whale even came and was evolved. But I kept off that. And he said, well, why didn't... And, you know, without thinking, I suppose this is the... Because I've been reading all Sinclair Ferguson and all the different things on Jonah. Just in my mind, as he said, well, why didn't you mention the whale? I said to him, well, that's a red herring. And it is a red herring, isn't it? It's here. It's totally irrelevant. It's here. The story of Jonah. What Jonah is. And as I was prepared this morning coming in, I thought, well, you know, what is Jonah? What is the point? It's, you know, the thought, serve me really, it's God's intention, isn't it, in this book, in the historic course of redemption from the beginning all through. It's God's heartbeat that he's going to glorify Jesus. And there's a big blip here, isn't it? It's his heartbeat to glorify that everything that happens, that everything that occurs in your life, in my life, ultimately, even if we know it or not, don't know it, it's going to be for the glory of Jesus. And so this book of Jonah, now someone has said, you know the story. You know it. And you believe it. I'm not going to talk about whales and fish. You believe it. The Lord Jesus has said it. And that's enough. That's enough of empirical science for us, isn't it? That he said it. And you know the story, so I could tell you the outline, isn't it? Someone has said chapters 1 up and through to 2 is Jonah disobeying. Basically, Jonah is disobeying. And then there's from 3 to the end, Jonah obeying. And someone, I think it's Packer, I was on the internet, he was saying that one, the first part then matches God's command to love God. Be obedient. And we fail, don't we? Like Jonah, we fail. That's the first part. Jonah disobeying us, love God. Obey him, serve him, do what he says. And then the second half, Jonah disobeying, it's God's command to love your neighbour by evangelism. And he said that. And so the pivot is chapter 3, verse 1. If it's Jonah disobeying, then Jonah obeying. And sometimes you can see the parallels, can't you, really? You've got pagans in chapter 1. Jonah doesn't love them. He's got no concern for them. God does. And you've got pagans in chapter 3. Jonah's a little bit more concerned for them. But God does. You see, you've got, and so the pivot is chapter 3, verse 1. The word of the Lord came again to Jonah. Isn't that tremendous? And as a church in Neath, you know, we blow it. Things happen, we just blow it. The things that we do that's wrong. I was converted in the sixth form, I've seen 3 ministries there, gone through 3 ministries there. And God blessing us blowing it. And we're in a situation now, thanks Nigel is trying to build a church for us, but it's 10 years, it's nothing there. And yet, the word of the Lord comes again. That's the sort of God he is. You'll blow it. You'll mess it up. But he comes again. The word to Jonah came again. And you know, even when he's obedient, he's not all that obedient. His heart doesn't beat like God's heart, does it? But he comes again, the word of the Lord. Isn't that tremendous? I don't know what situation you're in. And for you going to Japan, you'll be big mistakes. There'll be things you mess up. But the word of the Lord. He's the God that comes again. He's the God that can come again. He comes to Jonah and he can come to us again. Isn't that tremendous? Isn't that? And even through Jonah's life, you know, even after when he saw revival in Nineveh and his heart didn't really beat with love there. But God came again. Didn't tell us in the book of Jonah, does it? But he came again to him. He changed him. And not until you reach heaven, then you won't need the word of Lord coming again. The work will have been finished in you. So there is. But the other general thing we can learn is this. Remember the sailors? We're going to look at just very quickly, the sailors' response. But do you remember they said, when they saw the situation, they're trying to, Jonah has told them to throw him overboard, and they're rowing, and they see all the things happening, taken out of their hands. And they said, "You have done as you pleased, Lord. You have done as you pleased." Do you know what his pleasure is? Do you know what this book of Jonah's pleasure is that reveals to us the pleasure of God? What is his pleasure? To save. To save. That's his pleasure. It's to save. But here is the encouraging thing. This is just introduction now, because I'm going to go through, and I'll try to go through very quickly, just the three fears of the mariners, how they get scared three times. We'll have a look at that very quickly. But here is another encouraging thing, isn't it? You know, when Jonah was disobedient, he could have said, "Well, that's it, Jonah. You've had it. I'll get another prophet." See, I finish with the Jonah. My heart beats for Nineveh, but I can use other people. But he doesn't do that, does he? Not only is his heart to save, but he wants to use you and me. Helpless, hopeless, weak people who disobey. You see, he wants to use, not only is it salvation, he wants to so deal with his people that they rise to echo his heartbeat. And so he's working here in Jonah. Jonah, I want to see it. I want to work. I want to show that my desire is for this world. But I want you with me. I want you with me, Jonah. I'm not throwing you away. And you can say, "Well, that encouraged me enough." He could have said, "Well, that's it. You've messed it up." But he wants that. And here in Kriddach, he wants to use you. The word of God comes again. He wants to save. He wants to work. But he wants to use you as well. Isn't he good? Now let's have a look then. You know the story, you know the situation. He's running away and God is after him. He wants him in Nineveh. He wants Jonah there. He wants to work in him, to change him. I mean, you could go into the psyche of Jonah, why he left. It probably was very good reasons he ran away. He probably had really good reasons, I run because you're gracious. I know you are going to save. I suppose, bring it up to date. I can't believe, how can you love the non-elect? Or it's high theological reasons here that he's running away. He's hesitant. But he runs away. He's disobedient. He runs from God. God's command. He shouldn't have sorted out in his mind. He should obey. So he runs away. But then, verse 5, look, this is the first fear. The Lord sent such a storm on that boat that they were all afraid and cried to their own gods. And they threw the goods into the sea, isn't it? Now, I mean, I you realise that this must have been a whopper. This must have been an unbelievably big storm because these are sailors. This was something. I think it was according to the laws of nature. God was using the laws in it, but he had his tag on it. There was God's mark was on it. It was something different. So the storm was something. So they were frightened. They were afraid. Now, I mean, you look at this, and this is an old book. We have modern people, don't we? We are really intellectual. We know, how science. We know. I mean, I don't know if the Big Bang is going out now, isn't it? It's some other theory, now, isn't it? But we know, the reason for the existence here. These people, these simple people. But, I mean, these sailors believed this universe had a meaning. I mean, these sailors believed this was happening, there must be some reason for it. I mean, there must perhaps even a morality involved here, that this was happening because of something that... We don't believe that today. Do we? This universe is chance. It's meaningless. There's no reason. There's no reason for anything that happens. I mean, I know what happens to us. People who don't believe in God, they say, well, all right, there's a God, so we can blame him. But these sailors start crying to their own gods. And I think even today, even though people don't believe in a meaning and a reason, you know, when the problems really come, when they're looking down the barrel of a gun, even these people, because God has written, isn't it, eternity in our hearts. There's a knowledge of God, even when all the, you know, we fight against it and we try to push it out of our minds. God, there's a God, even today. But here are these mariners, these sailors calling to their gods. There's a reason. But the interesting thing is, there's no conviction of sin. See, there's no conviction, is there? There's no conviction in their hearts that it's me. Now, we know it wasn't them in this instance, but there's no conviction that I'm the cause. There's perhaps these gods up there, perhaps there's a reason out there to these gods, it's not me. It's nothing to do with me, but we're calling to them, and it's so serious, in fact, they throw everything overboard. I mean, have you got that view of life? You know, what's the most important thing? You know, when, in a sense, when the crunch comes, what are things in terms of life? And so they throw the things on the board. But it's up there. God's out there. Perhaps that's the reason. They come to Jonah, don't they? And they ask to cast lots. I don't know how they would do it. Stones or twigs, whatever. But can you see the implication of lots? I mean, why cast a lot if you knew it was you? See, they're casting lots, so what they're saying is, it's not me, it might be you, but it's not me. I'm not the cause of this. I've got no blame in this. Let's find out. Who's causing it? It's not my I'm not doing it. It could be someone else. And so they cast lots. And see, there was no consciousness that I'm to blame, that I'm involved in this, that it's my fault. And they go to Jonah. The captain goes to Jonah. He says, "Get up." He's sleeping. That's us, isn't it? "Get up. Call upon you a God." Can you see this captain is suddenly realized that our gods are no good. Our gods don't work. Our gods can't help. Our gods have no power. And you know why those gods have no power? Because they don't exist. But the captain is coming to Jonah and saying, don't call upon my God. He's no good. You are God. If you've got a God, Jonah, call upon you a God. They fail. They don't help. And I can tell you why they don't help. There is no God but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is the only God. And they're realizing, my gods don't help. They can't help. There's nothing they're doing in this situation. And they find Jonah. And they do a lot. And actually the spotlight falls upon Jonah, doesn't it? And they ask him, well, can you explain the situation? Can you explain why it is? They have no consciousness of their sin. Jonah doesn't at this moment. Jonah doesn't. Even as a God's person, a child of God, he doesn't have a consciousness of his sin. I mean, later, perhaps, when repentance comes, I don't know, but he doesn't have a consciousness of it. And I think a lesson to learn there. You know, when things go wrong and things are difficult, you know, what did the Lord Jesus say about the towers that are falling on people and different things? He said, well, right, it might not be your fault, but we to repent. when things go wrong, when there are difficulties, it says, yes, we ultimately we're in a world that's sinful. Our hearts are sinful. If God dealt with us as we deserve, we would be cast away from God's presence. And there's this consciousness. And yet Jonah is in the ship asleep. And the light is turned towards him. A lesson I learnt. I was out preaching, and one of the elders said to me, he said, I was sharing my heart with him, and he said, you know, you should never try to mend the roof in a storm. Don't try to mend the roof in a storm. So what he was saying was, when the storms come, and when the difficulties come, it's no good being away from God, because the storms are bad enough. But if the storm comes and you're away from God, it's hard mending a roof in a storm. Draw near now. I mean, it's not dawning upon Jonah that he's away from God and in all these problems. But it taught me the need to be close to God. To mend my roof now. To know God now. To know the Lord Jesus now. Not to be far away, to draw near now. Not wait for the storms to come. And Jonah answers, what's the reason? And he says, isn't it, this, he tells them, when they ask him who is responsible, and he says, verse 9, look, and this is where they get frightened again. He answers and says, I'm a Hebrew. Now, I mean, there must have been the beginnings. He's a God, the Holy Spirit, is in his heart. Even though he's sleeping, God is working and dealing with him. And he gives this confession. This is the evidence of a Christian, isn't it? In your lowest moments, sometimes the world does catch us out. In your lowest moments, here's Jonah answering. And he says, I'm running, but I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. You are calling to your gods, but even though you've woken me up, and I know I'm in this state, but when you tear everything away, I worship the Lord. And this Lord is the God who made heaven and earth. He is this God. Do you want to know if you're a Christian? Do you want to know if you're a Christian? And whatever condition you're in now, I think this is the doctor's decision. Whatever condition you're in now, if you had someone, and you knew they were dying, to speak to them, to tell them, and even in your backslidden state, what would you tell them? That the Lord Jesus is the only one. It's not nothing you do, nothing you can do. It's him that your hope must be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And it's the Lord Jesus. So now look what happens when Jonah is found out. Look what happens. I'm a teacher. Do not worry, Anna, at all. Right? Don't worry. I'm used to noise in lessons, aren't we? I shouldn't give you the wrong illustration. Paul Tucker was preaching, and he was telling Omri Jenkins, and you said, you're preaching in a wedding, and the little baby was crying, and he said to the mother, she said, don't take him out, it's the only living thing here. He said, look at what, the verse 9, look, this terrifies them. When Jonah admits that it's the Lord who made it very quickly, can you see what's happening? They're in peril, call to gods. No gods up there. It doesn't work. But now they realize that Jonah's God, the Lord, is the big one. He's the big one. He is the God. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. Those gods, no. But Jonah here is the big one. And the thing that really worries them is this, look. It's not out there now, somewhere up there, but it's here. This God, the big one, this God of heaven and earth, is here. He's actually present here. He's dealing here with this person, because Jonah tells them he's running away. This big God is here. Have you ever known anything of that? I had a friend in college. He had left the Navy. He was 35. He came into teaching. He was amazing. He was converted. He came into teaching. But he was converted after coming out of the Navy, and he was driving along, and suddenly all he says is this: God is. The reality of God just dawned upon him. He had to stop the car. He ran. He was crying. The fear, the reality. God is. Oh, Christian, this is what we need. Isn't it here? This big God, the Lord of heaven and earth, he is. He that comes to God must believe he is. The God that you have to do with, the never had a beginning God, he is. Has it ever dawned on you? I said, have you really not out there somewhere, you know, pray to gods out there? But this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is! He's real! He's here! And it frightened them. Very quickly that frightened them. It frightened you. It frightened Christians. I tell you, if God turns up, if God turns up, the God who is, it terrified them. That this God is, it's not something we play with now. It's something here. And he, this Jonah, he's running, he's there. And I think the other thing that worried them was, beginning to worry them, was this, wasn't it? Now, wait a minute now. We are pagan. They probably didn't go to Sunday school, did they? They were mariners. For that moment, they cried to their gods. But, I mean, their lives, what they were doing. And then they suddenly saw that this, the big God, the God who is, He loves this Jonah, but he's bringing all this. He's hurling this storm against him because he's running. And can you see this? What they're thinking? If this God does that to him, what about me? What about me who doesn't believe? Who has got no time? Who doesn't know this God? You know, one day the Lord Jesus is going to return from heaven, when he judges the whole earth. And it says that those that will be cast away, their sins will be up to the mountain, up to the ocean, won't they be high? But it says because they don't know him. They don't believe in him. If you're not a Christian here, if you're not a Christian, God loves some of the Christians here so much that he's sending them into pits because he wants to change them. And if he does that to them, what's he going to do to you? And the ultimate, isn't it? The ultimate is the Lord Jesus. You know the Lord Jesus on the cross, when he bore all the sins of his people, when he was laid down with all those sins, if ever there would be a time when God could say, no, I forgive. I let you off. I won't punish. If ever in the whole history of the cosmos there could have been a time when God would say, I'll blink. I forget it, my son. I won't punish you. But he didn't. He didn't. And when you stand before God with your sins, he's not going to forgive. If he treated the Lord Jesus like that, who bore us into his holy, harmless, undefiled, what will he do to us? So these were getting frightened. Now, very quickly going on, look. They start rowing now. The sea was getting rougher. And Jonah now is a prophet. God tells him. And I know this is a very important part of the book. God tells him now. God is going to demonstrate the wages of sin now, isn't he? The wages of sin is death. God reveals to Jonah, you've disobeyed me, you must die. That's what he's revealing to Jonah, isn't it? Cast Jonah, I want you to go into the sea. That's the way that's going to appease my anger in this situation. It's the wages of sin, isn't it? Because you've done this, Jonah, you will die. Now, I don't understand the theology totally of this, but it's there, isn't it? That God is demonstrating. He's showing. Well, you know, he's greater than Jonah. There's Jesus is going to be the one who's going to look back to Jonah and say, that was picturing me. But here, you see, Jonah, Jonah is going to need to die. Pick me up and cast me into the sea. Now, the mariners, they were good, the sailors were good men. They tried their utmost, didn't they? They tried their utmost to row to the shore. They fought and fought and fought. But it couldn't. They couldn't. They couldn't do anything. God has said Jonah must die. The wages of sin is death. Jonah must die. They try their utmost. Isn't this a principle? The wages of sin is death. God will pay. Something must be paid. And they try. Every effort whatsoever to fight against that, but they cannot. There is nothing you can do to answer that problem of who will pay should my labours no respite know, should my tears forever flow. Whatever I do, however much I try to row to heaven, the wages of sin have got to be paid. A holy God has got to be answered, and they can't. And they throw Jonah in the water. And look at this. When they throw him in, they greatly fear. The Lord. It was God before, the gods before. This is Jehovah now, Yahweh. This is the God of his people. They're calling upon him. They greatly fear him. Well, why? Can you see the situation? Can you imagine? Picture yourself in the situation there. There are these men. Jonah has said, pick me up. It'll be calm. Jonah realized he's committing himself to death. He realized he's disobeyed God. He realizes he's going to die here. Throw me in the water. The water will become calm. They try. They fight. They do all they can to stop this happening. And they do it. And the moment they do it, the moment Jonah hits the water, there's peace. There's peace. Can you see what this big God, this awesome God, this powerful God, is merciful. He's been propitiated. His anger has been turned away. This God who is the Lord of heaven and earth, this God who has punished his servant, and this peace, we're saved. God so loved us that he sent Jonah, that we will not perish. And we're saved. He's dead. This God. Oh, can you see? Can you see it? Oh, can ahead to this, the greater than Jonah, the one that this book was written because of. And all the events were happening was going to point to that there was a day on Calvary when, if you like, the Lord Jesus picked me up and throw me in. But this Lord Jesus wasn't running from God. He wasn't a disobedient servant. He wasn't someone who was like us running away. He with all his heart, God, he loved his Father. This is the only way. Pick me up. Cast me to your anger, the sea of your anger. And the moment the Lord Jesus there dealt with that, it's very untheological, but I love Christmas Evans, isn't it? It's God's anger fell when it nearly burnt up his humanity. This is untheological, isn't it? It nearly burnt up his humanity, but when it touched his deity, he was extinguished. The moment the Lord Jesus died, there was peace. There was a calm. You see, there was a calm. This frightened the sailors. Oh, does it frighten you with an awe and a wonder? The wages of sin, yes, can be paid in Jesus. See, it's in Jesus. Do you know that? Oh, do you know that? Are you trying to row to heaven? Are anybody here trying to row to heaven? The Lord Jesus has dived himself voluntarily into the anger of God, God's justice, righteous anger, and extinguished it. My sins, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sins, not in part, but the whole, were nailed to his cross. Now, I'll end with this. We're coming to the Lord's table. I'll end with this. The mariners called upon the Lord Jehovah. They made vows. They said they would sacrifice. Probably they wanted to get to Jerusalem, perhaps, to offer sacrifices. I think they were converted. Some think they weren't converted. I think they definitely were converted there. They came to know God. They thought Jonah had died. They thought Jonah had died. Our Saviour's died. This God has been appeased. He's just. He's amazing. He is merciful. Look at the mercy that we've had. We are sinful, but in this account, He's covered our sins here. He's forgiven us this problem. Jonah has answered it. Can you imagine? My mind's running on now. Can you imagine that in the weeks and months that lie ahead, perhaps they landed on the shore. Perhaps they saw Jonah. And they saw, perhaps he was covered white by the bleach, by the acid of the star. I don't know. And they said to him, "We thought you were dead. We thought you were dead." This God, this awesome, great, holy God, is more merciful than we thought. He so loved us that He sent Jonah, but Jonah's alive. Our Saviour's alive. He's living. God has sent him, punished, but he's living. And oh, my dear people, we come to this greater than Jonah, this Lord Jesus, who took our sins and paid the wages of sin, paid for them totally. Like Jonah, you'll see this evening, was in the grave for 3 days. But he lives! He's alive, not with the white acid of a fish, but with glory. He's covered in glory. He comes. And you know, they said, God so loved the world there. God so loved the world. Yeah, the sailors that he gave Jonah to the fish. But God so loved the world that he gave the Lord Jesus to death, and the cross, burial, and new life for you. The Lord Jesus is alive. As we're coming to this, as we're taking the emblems, you know, may something of it dawn upon us. As we're taking by faith, or that the Holy Spirit would give us a view of King Jesus, King greater than Jonah. Oh, he far outshines Jonah, but who lives? He's alive. He's alive. Do you really know this morning? And as we're going into the many leaving us, and all of us are going through, we don't know what difficulties that will come. But he says to us, as we take these emblems here, he says to you, this King, this glorious King, I will be with you. I will be with you always. I will keep you, guard you. Great. All that Jonah was picturing, I've done. We pray. Oh Lord, we bless you and thank you that you are greater than Jonah. Lord, you've shown us in Jonah your love for this world. But in you, Lord, we see your great desire that the kingdoms of this world will become your kingdoms. And we thank you, Lord, that you who died upon the cross bore the anger of God, the wrath of God, went into the grave. You have arisen and you reign, Lord. You're alive. And I ask, Lord, as we sit around the table here, that you would come to us. Come to those who are weary. Come to those who are doubting. Come to those who are backsliding. Come to those who are unconverted. Come, Lord. Even in this time now together, come to us and enable us, Lord, with all our hearts to bless you and to thank you for all that you've done. We ask it in your name and for your glory, Lord. Amen.